Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas, adapted for radio by Eric Scott, and a George Edwards production. In an agony of mind, Marianne Giudice stands by and watches her father's servants flog Louis de Franchi. Marianne still believes that Louis is Lucien, and that her great love for him is being denied when he pretends that he doesn't know her. But with the bitterness which lies in her heart, there suddenly wells up pity, and the great love which she feels cannot be extinguished. She demands that the de Franchi be taken from the whipping post and set free. Her father is horrified, since she announces this in front of her cousin Giuseppe, who will tell the rest of the family. He orders the servants to take her to her room while they complete the sentence of death on the de Franchi. However, Marianne asks to speak with him alone for a few minutes, and on the other side of the wall of the courtyard, she tells him that she loves Lucien, and that if he is not set free, she will proclaim her love to the rest of the family.
You understand, Father? Everyone shall know.
Marianne, have you gone out of your mind?
I love him, I love him, I love him.
I don't believe you. It's a mingled arrangement. You, who since you were old enough to speak have been taught to hate the de Franchi. Why, in the past, the very mention of this man's name would send you into tantrums of fury. Marianne, I refuse to believe it.
Believe it or believe it not, he must go free, do you understand? He must be put to bed now, for he is ill with the suffering he has been through. And then he must be sent home.
No.
Very well. If he dies, I tell Giuseppe. I tell everybody that I, Marianne Giudice, love and worship him.
No, don't say that.
I do. I worship him. Even though he pretends he doesn't know me. I love him more than I've loved anything else in this world. Even now, when he goes out of my life, I shall still love him. Even though I know that he doesn't give me another thought. It's part of his revenge against the Giudice. Don't you understand, Father? It was I who let him go free.
You?
Yes. I opened his door with another key. I took him across the rose garden, through the gate in the wall. I had a horse there, waiting for him. It was I also who saved his life in the valley.
But I don't understand.
I've been in love with Lucien de Franchi ever since the night I met him in the past. Ever since the night he let me go free. From that day, his name, his face, his very being has always been on my mind, on my heart, on my soul. And then when I heard you tell Uncle Pietro that you would both murder him in the valley below Mount Santhus, I was desperate. I followed you.
You followed us?
Yes. And on the night when you arranged to creep on the camp and stab both him and his friend, I fired a shot on the mountainside, hoping that it would wake them up, put them on their guard.
So it was you. You who fired that shot?
Yes. Now, Father, do you believe what I say? Now do you believe that I love Lucien de Franchi?
I don't know what to think. What to say, Marianne. This has come as a terrible shock. You realize what you do in loving de Franchi? You dishonor me, your uncle, the entire family?
I know.
Isn't it enough to make you understand that they would cut our throats in our beds? That they would be happy to see us dead?
I know all that. Lucien de Franchi hates me. Otherwise, he would never act in this way, pretending that he had forgotten everything. In spite of that, I still love him. If only you knew what I went through when I saw the lash flaying across his back out there. It was lashing me too, every blow, every stroke. But the agony for me was something that reached down to my very soul. Well, will you do as I say?
How can I, with Giuseppe?
You have no choice. I shall tell Giuseppe everything. I have told you I shall tell the whole of Corsica. Do you understand? The whole of Corsica.
And afterwards. After he's been set free.
You can do what you like. You say I have dishonored your name? Very well. Fling me out. Send me away. What does it matter what happens to me now? Perhaps I would be better dead. I don't care.
And the de Franchi? What of him? You wouldn't go crawling to him?
After he leaves here, if I ever meet Lucien de Franchi again, I will shoot him dead. This is my greatest sacrifice, but it is my last.
well, madame?
He is quiet now, monsieur. The storm has passed.
Poor boy. He suffered.
Yes, poor Lucia. But what of my other son? Where is he now?
It's a strange business, madame.
Stranger and stranger, Monsieur Godet. You have proved a great friend to us. To you I can confide.
Yes, madame.
Tonight, before you came, before this series of extraordinary incidents, Griffo and I were talking. And the news he gave me worried me more than I can say.
Oh? What was the news, madame?
It concerns Lucien and Marianne Guidici.
Marianne?
Yes. You have no doubt heard her name before. The daughter of the main Guidici family. She is very beautiful. Also very dangerous. I fear she has woven a spell over my son.
A spell? They're enemies, aren't they? Mortal enemies.
Lucien has been brought up to regard Marianne Guidici as one of his deadliest enemies in Corsica. And she, on her side, has boasted openly that she would wipe us from the face of the earth. It was to be her lifelong task.
Then I don't see why...
How Marianne Guidici could wave a spell? Do you believe in witchcraft, Monsieur Godet?
Witchcraft? Oh, no, madame.
Oh, of course. You come from France, the land of scientists, the practical men. But we, monsieur, we are steeped in folklore, in family tradition. Surely you have seen enough of this to understand that strange things happen in Corsica. You saw the agony my son went through tonight, all because something happens to Louis in the south.
Quite true. But it's common knowledge that between certain twins there is a kind of telepathy, madame. In this case, well, you told me that these boys had to be separated by a doctor at birth. The affinity would have been closer.
Quite true. But be that as it may, I still think that Marianne has used some supernatural power. My son thinks constantly of her, that I have found out.
Wouldn't that be the best thing that could happen, madame?
What?
Well, supposing the liking is mutual, more than that perhaps, then that would be the means of ending a frightful vendetta.
You are not suggesting, Monsieur Godet. You dare not suggest that my son marry a Guidici.
Oh, madame, I don't think it's quite as awful as it sounds.
May I be struck dead if such a thing should happen.
Oh, don't say that, madame.
I mean it. The blood of a De Franchi to mingle with the foul, stinking blood of that scum in the south. I would rather we should all die at this very moment.
A week passed, a worrying week for the De Franches. There was not a shred of news concerning Louis De Franchi, and yet, because Lucien had had no vision, Madame, who steadfastly believed in the family tradition, believed Louis to be alive. Finally, at the end of the week, Lucien, unable to bear the suspense any longer, decided on action. He went to Madame and spoke his mind.
Mother, I can't stand it any longer. Something must be done.
What do you mean, my son?
It is a whole week now, and we haven't heard any news of Louis. There is only one thing for it. I shall go down to the south myself.
No, no.
I must, Mother. Only to find out what news there is. Who can tell what is happening to poor Louis? If he is alive...
He is alive, I know that.
Then I must go. Oh, surely there is some way by which I can save him.
You know you speak foolish words. The Guidici household is a strong one. They have so many supporters. You so few. What can you do, Lucien?
Little, I suppose. And yet...
You might lose your own life. And then where would we be? Here in the north we are safe. This is a natural stronghold. We would welcome the Guidici if they came here to try and do us harm. But down there is their own country. My son, you know that you set yourself an impossible task. Listen.
The dogs. They bark only if they know who approaches. And... Why, Mother. Mother, look. Coming through the gates now.
Louis. Louis.
Louis, with drooped shoulders. He's head down. Oh, Mother, he's ill. I must go to him quickly.
We come, Louis. We come. Griffo. Griffo, Pierre. It is Louis. He's back. Louis is safe. Oh, Louis. Louis.
Louis.
Lucien.
It is Lucien.
Oh, let me help you, Louis. Oh, you look so ill.
Yes, it's been such a long journey. I'm not well, Lucien. I'm not well.
Oh, I know. I have been through what you went through, my brother. Except that yours was the physical and mine the mental. She set you free, didn't she? It was Marianne who set you free.
Marianne?
Yes, yes.
In a way, it was.
I knew. Oh, Louis, I knew she was our friend, not our enemy. And yet if I dared mention such a thing to my mother...
Your friend. I'd like to tell you something, Lucien. Just as I was leaving, Marianne came up to the gate. She made me understand something very clearly.
What was that?
She said, if she ever sets eyes on you again, she'll shoot you on sight.
While Lucien stared in astonishment as Louis gave him this news, Madame came running from the house with Griffo and Pierre. In spite of the cries of joy that broke from the group, both brothers were unmoved. Lucien was still trying to understand this strange utterance of Marianne's. Make sure you hear the next enthralling episode of The Corsican Brothers.
Thank you.